And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Back to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and this is a very special edition episode. This is the 1 year anniversary. JV and I have been back at it for a whole year. God damn! And this is SmackDown special edition watch along, and it's even special because we got our boy. That guy has been supporting us for a long time, and even back to the Hurricane Rana days. Jay Free from Free Your Geek is here this week, and he's going to watch along for this special edition, one-year anniversary episode of SmackDown, the very first episode of SmackDown from April 29th, 1999. Again, I'm Mike Prue, along with JV, and also with Jay Free. How you guys doing? JV?
Doing well, man. Doing well. April 29th, 1999, over 20 years ago, man.
And again, Jay Free.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Yeah, this is great, man. I've been loving your show. I've been telling you guys like this is great, and now I feel like we're doing a 3-man commentary booth for this watch along, for the pilot episode of SmackDown, April 29th, 1999. So I find it interesting that you know you're celebrating your 1 year anniversary, and on the 1 year anniversary, you're doing the pilot episode of SmackDown, which nowadays over 20 years ago, now it's moving over to Fox. And bringing in some huge money for WWE. And we get to kind of go back and start and watch along as we go through the career retrospective of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the pilot episode of SmackDown. I'm very happy to be here with you guys. And then on your one-year anniversary, too. That's just fantastic.
Thanks for being here. It's crazy that it just flies by. I talked to JV last week. He's like, it's been a year already? He's like, he didn't even know that was a year.
Well, I thought we started in October, so I was a little confused. I didn't realize we started this early with fantasy football and shit going on. I'm surprised you got me to say yes, honestly.
Well, I asked you back in July, and you're like, oh, well, I got to wait until like September, mid-September.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, fine. And that's how it worked out.
Hook, line, and sinker got me in.
But yeah, here we are, and we got Jay Free with us. And
hey, I have a question: have either of you watched this since the debut?
No, I didn't watch it. No.
I'm going in fresh. I just wanted to test out my network, so I watched the the audio tag, the first the logo and type of thing, and then I'm like, okay, it works. So let's stop and see what happens.
Crazy. All right, nice. That's good to know.
Yeah, so before we even start that, we need to recap. Last week we covered episode 47, which was Backlash of April 99, and that was Stone Cold retaining his title from The Rock, and he got back his Smoking Skull title, which was the whole big deal, and he got that title back. But then the very next night, The Rock came out as a babyface. So we got that big switch right there. So things are changing at this point. And have you guys looked at the main event of this SmackDown? It's just like 3 days after Raw. And you got a weird main event.
I have not. Again, my memory is foggy. But I think this is the first full-fledged babyface run of The Rock.
Yes.
Because I think if I recall properly, up to the Deadly Game tournament, King of the Ring Deadly Game, I believe it was called.
He Survivor was kind
of
Series.
Positioned Survivor Series. Thank you. I say King of the Ring because it was a single elimination tournament, and that's what's on my brain. But it's almost like the Rock was against the corporation, and then at the end, mm-hmm. 1 year after the Montreal Screwjob, basically the Rock reaffirmed himself as a heel, and I think this is the first time he's actually going to be a legitimate babyface. in the storylines in it, not being part of an overall plot between himself and the corporation.
Very good. Quote unquote, the people's champ he becomes at this point.
Yeah, and we've seen this brewing because, you know, with the Big Show coming, everything, you've kind of seen that you've witnessed that The Rock isn't very, he doesn't feel very comfortable with his position in the corporation or the direction the corporation's going. They're distracted by, there's other things going on. You got Vince McMahon dealing with, you know, The Undertaker. Shane's kind of, you know, taking the lead for the corporation, really. It's not, you know, Vince McMahon almost seems like he's lost control. So he's actually like in a, you know, a down spiral.
Well, you got the Undertaker involved in everything too. The ministry.
Right. That's what I said. Taking up Vince McMahon's time. Yep. And The Rock, you know, he's sick of it. Seems like he's, you know, getting tired of the distractions.
Yeah, so that basically brings us where we are at this point. So, I mean, we got to fire it up right at this point. SmackDown is...
Yeah, over. I don't have any additional talking points, Jay. For you got anything else you want to
No, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this... I'm like to relive some memories. You know, SmackDown, kind of this as you mentioned, JV, over 20 years ago, you know, 1999, I was a teenager, so like it was like in the midst of the Attitude Era, so it was like it kind of like grabbed me, you know, it had my full attention. So I'm just curious to see it. Let's see if I can get all those nostalgic feelings back.
I don't think I actually watched this. I don't remember. I know 1999. I was a big fan, but April 1999. I don't remember this SmackDown. I don't think I watched this.
And I'm curious. Is this the one where they? Because it's the pilot episode. Did they have that giant fist in the pilot episode?
No, not at this point. I don't think that comes until like 2002, 2003, around that point.
That was okay. Cool. The fist ruled.
Yeah, I was a fan of that.
All right. So before I give us the big countdown to get the show going, I also want to point out that JV and I do the ECW Extreme live cast, and we do that on the Booking the Territory Patreon feed on the $5 tier. And we've just released July 20th and July 27th of 1993. And those shows were fucking great. Those shows were hot. Those are the best episodes that JV and I have covered since we started the ECW Extreme Livecast. So if you want more of JV and I, check out the Extreme ECW Livecast on Booking the Territory, patreon.com. But now, let's get to the main event, and that's SmackDown from April 29th, 1999. I'm going to set you up with a 5 down to 1 count. Pause me if you need to get your shit all straight. All right, let's do it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Here we are.
I wonder what the theme song is going to be here. Kind of like the typical Raw start with the theme.
Yeah, it's basically going to be the same as Raw.
The package.
All right, so we're getting a nice recap here. It's...
There it is.
It's the Austin, The Rock feud. Austin wins the title back at Backlash. I just want to point out to Jay Free, the reason why we're doing this is because it comes right after our last episode. And it made sense. Hey, let's fucking do the one Raw the one SmackDown episode.
No, it's perfect, and I love just seeing like the corporation, the posse's in there, China. Like I forgot, you know, that Triple H and China were already part of the corporation at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised by that too. Watching back, is that Triple H was in the corporation. I totally forgot about that.
And he's kind of like the 1A now.
Yeah. Right, he becomes like the next big heel. You
know? Yeah. I love the Shane McMahon-led corporation. I just love it. The boss's kid.
Yeah, it's so good.
Everybody hates the boss's kid.
This is iconic, too.
Undertaker.
Yeah. The where to, Stephanie.
I hated that laugh.
Yeah, JV talked about that on the last episode. I hate that. Jay Free, you sound like you like that line. Where to, Stephanie?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's so out there. And this is taking me back too, because again, the storylines, say what you want about Vince Russo. I don't even know if Russo is writing at this point, but just like this, everything like connected. You know what I mean? Like
Continue.
No, I was just saying, I like how every character had their own storyline, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, you know, and even like watching the whole plot of Vince and Austin, from him hating him to him needing him, and then where it eventually went. I won't spoil it for like first time listeners or viewers that don't know where the storylines are going, but just the overall, the highs and lows, and Vince McMahon's hugging Stephanie and saying thank you to Austin just like kills me.
That was a great moment. We talked about it last week. It was so ironic too. Like, this guy's been shitting on Austin forever, over a year and a half. Now he's giving it
to him. The opening right now is the original SmackDown theme, and I just saw Shawn Michaels as the commissioner.
Yeah.
At this point, and I totally forgot about that too.
That wasn't even that long ago either. It was like probably 5 months ago.
Yeah, leading into WrestleMania, during WrestleMania season.
Well, this is great music. JV, maybe you need to rip this music for the outro music for this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Probably the intro, too.
Yeah, there you go. That makes sense. Network television for WWF. Here we go.
Look at all the signs in the audience, too.
That's the craziest thing about this era, is seeing all the signs.
Yeah.
And how much people give a fuck.
Well, you know, we've mentioned this in previous episodes. You know, people don't have cell phones.
Right. That's the only way to express themselves.
Yeah.
And Cornette is doing commentary.
Yeah.
Cornette's good. Uh-oh. All right. So let's see. Stephanie.
Young
coming
Stephanie.
Off of being free from The Undertaker. She's walking like something's fucked up with her.
Well, you got to
say, she does a good acting job here.
Yeah, well, you think? I don't know. I don't think she was acting.
No, I think she's this like ditzy and delirious?
I think she was like not accustomed to being on TV.
She's just that fucking awkward.
Yeah. She's a weird ass 22-year-old at that point, probably.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to figure out her age.
All right, so what do we want to do here? Do we want to listen to these guys right now? All right, let's lay out for a little bit, at least. Listen to him. To stand before you here tonight, and even more proud to be standing next to my daughter Stephanie. I guess we make little quips, but
yeah. However,
I'm proud of a lot of my personal accomplishments, but not so proud of some of my business ones.
How old is she here, Jeffrey? Did you know?
She was born in September 24th, 76. So she'd be, what, 22?
23. Oh, 22, almost 23.
Yeah.
That's a whole chance.
The look she's giving him right now is hilarious. So.
Yeah.
I called you that before, Dad.
The greatest antagonist on television in the 90s, Vince McMahon.
Underrated. Nobody knows it, yeah. Other than wrestling fans.
Yeah, the greatest villain. I've done it at the expense of my family. So, I have an opportunity now to do something about that. Is tonight, I take the first step in regaining control of my own company. I know that I will certainly be competitive, no doubt. I'll be a competitive SOB as far as my company is concerned. But along the way in the future, I'm going to stop, smell the roses, and I'm going to thank those individuals who have helped me become the success that I am. And I'm going to start, by the way, with thanking tonight not only the world's most dangerous man, but certainly...
Oh, no.
Who's this? Ken Shamrock?
Yeah, his boy.
Yeah, because he just turned on Shane in the new corporation. And they jumped him, right? They beat the shit out of him.
He remained loyal to Vince because he found Stephanie.
would like to thank Stone Cold Steve. Yeah.
That's right, because last week Stone Cold saved her ass. Let's see what Stephanie has to say.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah, baby.
1999.
Wait till you get your fake titties.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jay. We're rude. Jay Free, let me to offend you.
No, no, it's all good. I was going to say this before augmentation. The biggest thing I'm taking away from this is nobody's chanting what during the pauses.
There's no what yet.
Not yet. No what's yet.
That's probably the most refreshing
thing. Two more years. Like.
Yeah, it is kind of refreshing not hearing it, because that's all you'd hear nowadays.
Yeah. What?
So she's basically like just pleading to the crowd.
Yeah.
Not pleading, but I guess being thankful.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, she's getting serious now.
All right, so she just told the Undertaker to burn in hell. So, if we don't have the audio up, that's what happened. So, here's Vince now. I'd like to make a promise to you, Stone Cold. Ooh.
Shane, right?
Oh, little boy's coming out.
Boy Wonder.
Boy Wonder.
And this is before the Shane Shuffle.
Yeah, yeah.
JV, you're so spot on with this era of Shane McMahon.
What do you mean?
And just, no, like how fucking great he is. Because yeah. Just months ago, he was the most annoying guy on TV.
Yeah, the Heat announcer, when he was doing commentary on Heat.
Right. And then he just jumped right into this role. And he's the man.
Like this era of Big Boss Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, JV, talk about your Big Boss Man.
I don't like Big Boss Man, but this was the better of the two. I didn't like Sheriff, you know, Hard
Cop
Time.
Big Cop Boss Connie. Man.
Cop Car, yeah. Cop Car.
He's serving hard time.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't like
if
his
you ever make
tricks.
A trip down to Cop County, Georgia. You didn't like that guy.
All right.
Well, we got the asshole chance. China looking like a fuck. It was a peak gas sign in the middle of the audience.
Really? No kidding.
All right, let's lay out here. I have to address one thing. Last Monday night, when the Undertaker abducted Stephanie, do you not think that myself or the entire corporation would have been there for my own flesh and blood, my sister, if something bad were to have happened? Do you not think I would have been there for you? What type of human being do you think I am? What kind of a human being do I think you are, Shane? I think that... Shut your mouth. That's Whoa. Enough out of you. I don't even want to hear it. Oh. That's great. That reminds me of your brother telling you to shut up when you were little.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up. I don't want to hear from you. Fuck you. Grew a conscience overnight, and then it makes me sick to my stomach. I almost regurgitated in the back. You're out here thanking Stone Cold Steve Austin for saving your precious little daughter Stephanie, daddy's little girl. What a steal a line from Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know what, as it relates to business, I don't give a rat's ass about daddy's little girl. I don't give a rat's ass about Stone Cold, and I don't give a rat's ass about you. What the hell is rat's ass, baby. Good line.
Stephanie's facials too.
I thought Shane was gonna say, oh, whoa, whoa. I got this. Instead of eh. Back it up, back it up. Hold on, back it up, Hunter, China, I got this one. Just chill out for 1 second. China's tits are bigger than Triple H's arms.
Oh, shit. A son talking to a father like that. Now you may leave and take your precious little daughter with you. Get to stepping. This is my show. I'm running things here. And Triple H in the background.
You know, one day, Shane. You think Triple H is plotting at this point?
Yeah, he's plotting to get into the McMahon jeans.
Yeah. So I don't know, fucked out girl.
Because isn't he dating China at this point?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, why would you date that? But that's how fucked up he is. He's all about, like, working out and shit. So I got a fucking...
Hey, China has the girl working out come with. A long way, though. She looks a lot better than when she debuted.
So?
Correct.
I know, but...
I remember growing up thinking, and you did too. Everyone was like, what? "That girl has a dick."
Until but as she got older and she started having all this surgery done,
I know. And then it was like, "Oh, she has tits now."
Yeah.
Well, everyone was like, "Oh, she's like a man."
Yeah, when you're 14, that's a big difference.
Jeffrey, what's your view on that? Did you hear that?
Well, I was
a little older. You're a little older, right?
I was born in 82, so.
All right, so you're a year older than me. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I never had a problem with China. But
I don't think you had a problem with her, but did you
Nicole
think
Bass,
was...
Nicole Bass kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, yeah. Right, she's not Nicole Bass, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. China has some curves. You know, some of them surgically enhanced, but the rest of her, you know. Again, it's a muscular woman. Some guys go for that. Some guys don't. I'm cool, you know. I'm chill with that. Like, hey, if you like that, that's your thing. That's cool, man.
PC. I don't know. I look at her. I think she's in good shape here, dude. She's got a nice body.
No, she looks good there. She looks good there. But also to point out, Nicole Bass is on the scene at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's
she's
right.
She's chasing Val Venus around right now at this point.
Yeah. I was wondering if they were going to go with, like, for a China Nicole Bass, I don't know, confrontation at some point.
She's a beast.
Oh, they never did that, huh? Yeah.
Oh. All right, so we got a big segment going on here. Shane McMahon is looking for a Stone Cold opponent. So they're setting up the main event here. Let's continue to listen here. Let's lay out. Are there any takers? Uh-oh. Wait a
minute. Yeah, good line.
Good word to use.
I think I know what this is building to.
I was only moments away from making Stephanie McMahon my bride and servant.
My bitch.
See, Austin, what you've done is stick your nose in a place where it had no business. Monday night, you played the role of the spoiler. Tonight, I am going to play multiple roles. Judge, jury, executioner.
How many times does Austin have to deal with the Undertaker? Alright. Let's listen. The Rattlesnake right here tonight on
SmackDown against Triple H and the Undertaker. It's a big main event.
Yeah, fucking huge main event. Can you feel the power? Can't wait for it. No one gives a fuck.
Because Shane McMahon said so. So cocky.
You should have said, because the boss said so, like you said the previous week. That would have been more heat. I think the Undertaker's got a such a great song.
That kid's got Jim no Cornette. Shirt on in the background. Like, dude, put your shirt on. You're in an arena.
Where?
To the right, behind Michael Cole's head, right there. Yo.
Oh, yep, there he is.
And he's got a necklace on. The throw 90s.
Yeah, right.
Bleach blonde hair. With a Zach Morris fro with a chain around his neck.
Here's the big match. This is Kane and X-Pac versus New Age Outlaws. New Age Outlaws earned a title shot at Backlash to go up against Kane and X-Pac. So that was a big match.
Mankind and Boss, Mankind's man. This is a good card so far.
Yeah. It's almost like
wow, Shamrock Bradshaw?
Well, it's kind of a Backlash to Backlash. It's all matches that have to do with Backlash.
Deborah's.
I love Deborah.
Steve Austin's ex-wife, right?
Second ex-wife.
Oh, man.
this
sad.
Sucks. Sucks to see that. Because
that's all you think about when you see the blue blazer.
Weeks away. We're just weeks away. It's the end of April. I love Val Venus.
Val always had a great, you know, the Hello Ladies, and then he'd always have some double entendre.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering which one he's going to go with. I would almost guess, like, one of my favorites is, like, the big Valabowski's a lot like a Rubik's Cube. You know, the more you play with it, the harder it gets.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it is.
He's not going to say that. Well, if he says that, I'm going to like be like Nostradamus.
You already listened to it, Don. God damn it.
My favorite hey, part Bass. Of...
Oh, there's there you Nicole go. Bass. There's your girl, Jayfree.
No, I was going to say my favorite part of the Val Venus career was when Terry was by his side, because I was a huge Terry Runnels fan.
Oh, that was very rare. Name. All
right. I loved her.
Let's lay out. Let's lay out. Let's listen.
Ladies, tonight, I would like to invite each and every single one of you to invest in the Big Balboski's mutual fund. You see, it's always up more than it's down. And I can guarantee you, with this fund, there will never be an early withdrawal.
That's funny. Oh yeah, that's good shit.
So you guys talk about ECW, like when you get to the Joel Gertner stuff around this time frame, so around good. Like 98 and 99, unbelievable how like perverted but creative it is.
Double J, he was just inducted into the WWE funny. Hall of Fame.
Jayfree, I feel like you could do the voice of Joel Gertner.
Well. No, I do like Jarrett's shirt. Like it's he's kind of playing to the guitar thing. It's the words don't piss me off are in the shape of a guitar, the body of a guitar, which is kind of cool.
I mean, Deborah's hot, but those tits are just fucking balls.
Dude,
let's put it this way.
Deborah, love those.
What do you think was better coming out of WCW, Deborah or?
Deborah was a nice surprise coming in.
Yeah, I thought so.
Either, I was going to say Deborah, Stacy Keibler, or Tori Wilson.
Stacy Keibler.
Well, that's later, but.
Yeah, but the greatest female from.
Wilson. I go Wilson, Tori Wilson. She got everything.
I like Keebler.
Alright, so we got Blue Blazer versus Val Venus, and I guess this is Owen Hart in this situation.
Yeah. Because right now he's like two different people, right?
Well, he hasn't been doing this for the past month, over a month and a half. Like, Blue Blazer's story's been done. It was over. Now they just brought it back in the last week of April. That's what sucks about the whole thing that we know is about to come, is that this was a done story. Blue Blazer's story was over with, and they fucking brought it back out of nowhere.
I think the rumors were what, that he didn't want to do a specific storyline where him and Deborah had a thing because he didn't want to like put his like wife or his kids through right. that or something. So they saddled him with the Blazer gimmick again.
Right. Well, I don't even know if that story is true because there was nothing leading to that angle.
Well, Jeff Jarrett involved. I thought Jeff Jarrett was like he was aligned with Jeff Jarrett though for a brief stint.
He was aligned with Jeff Jarrett, but yeah, he was also yeah, I guess so. So he's trying to like protect Deborah.
Right.
He's like, oh, I don't want you to be nude. So yeah, like
being a superhero basically.
Yeah. So then
having morals and shit.
Just so bad. So I guess
I had heard that he was
Vince Russo was said, all right, we'll go back to Blazer.
And didn't they want to kind of like take a shot at Sting? I was coming from the rafters and everything, so they kind of wanted Blazers. I don't know how true that is, but it was like a theory.
I don't think that's
fan theory.
I don't think so.
Ooh, nice elbow drop there by Val Venus. He was a good worker.
That is a nice elbow drop.
I love to watch a lot of his stuff recently.
Yeah, Val Venus is a sweet worker. He's damn good.
Speaking of,
it's a great show.
Been a character.
Deborah's Blazer is now open.
Nice. Ah, the attitude.
Like Yoda. Ooh. He's got the perfect plex.
Right.
And a kick in the nuts. And Blue Blazers are going to get the cover here.
JFFJRRET with the assist.
All right, so. Yeah, Owen Hart back in his Blue Blazer gear. And he's actually got the same music that he used as he came out in 1989 at WrestleMania 5 against Mr. Perfect.
Love that match.
Yes. Nice quick four-minute match.
Cole Bass about to fuck shit up.
And Val Venus is like, what the fuck is this girl doing here? Ooh! Oh my god.
Not made for TV.
Yeah. Hey, No, it's funny. Doesn't Val Venus look like what Triple H becomes?
Like mass? Like the way he's built?
Yeah. Right.
Kinda, yeah. He's definitely bigger than. I don't know. Triple H is bulking now. I think Val Venus still might be bigger than him.
Like, no, like at 2002, 2003, like,
yeah.
Triple H becomes what Val Venus was already at that point.
Yeah, but even more swollen.
Yeah. Well, a little bit.
After the quad injury or whatever he has, he comes back super jacked.
But Val was settled with, I'm a porn star.
Yeah.
Talk about a phrase that wouldn't go over in today's world. Godfather's come to collect his property.
Yeah, no way.
Get his property.
Yeah, it's this shit wouldn't work nowadays. It'd get eaten alive.
Well, Deborah has no problem with any of it. She's all about being a hoe.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with like a lot of the. It's kind of like the role they play in the show. Yeah. They're sex symbols. That's it. They're not performers. Like they bring the belt in and Sable's a champion, whatever. But she's still a sex symbol, not a woman's wrestler in the eyes of like the majority of people watching the product in 1999, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, it's like the women are looked at as wrestlers. They're not just sex objects, you know.
And I think it's kind of there's a fine line between somebody like, I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much, but like a Trish Stratus. When she comes in,
right,
and then actually becomes a decent worker at the same time, I think you could do like right now. To your point, that a lot of the women were just looked at as valets first,
correct?
You know, and again, there's a time and a place for everything. Like Deborah, absolutely, you know.
Yeah, in a couple of years though, like that's when you get the next, you know, the true women's revolution, where you're getting the the best of both worlds. I guess from an entertainment perspective, mm-hmm. they're the sex symbol, but they're also incredible athletes. Stratus, Lita,
Molly Holly.
Molly Holly was great too, yeah.
Victoria.
Alright, we got the Blue Blazer talking here. I don't think we really need to listen to him, so.
As long as he doesn't kick somebody's leg out of his leg.
Good one, man.
Kevin Kelly calls hard hitting. Kevin Kelly calls him Owen.
Get this leg out of his leg.
That mask has a hole right above the hole for the mouth. I don't understand what that's supposed to do. That for just for his nose?
I don't know. I think like his nose should be in the hole, right?
Yeah, should be up a little bit. Man, God damn it! One that can protect good from evil. He should have fucking went to WCW.
Now there's Farouk in the background.
Oh, I didn't see him.
I saw him walk by.
Woo!
I love that.
So it's the big show.
Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Paul White, the big show.
Oh, this is when he was like massive, yeah. But not like fat massive.
Yeah,
like,
he's a fucking good shape right here.
Yeah, what an attraction.
It looks damn good.
As soon as he was wearing the trunks, not the little singlet thing with the straps.
Yeah. Well, Bruno and I, we had this conversation. You thought he looked better in WCW in his younger years, and I said he looked better now.
No, he looks pretty jacked right here, but previously, like 95 when he was the Giant, he was a lot thinner.
Yeah, I like him as this jacked up guy.
He
right
looks
here.
Built right here. Yeah.
He looks solid. He looks like
yeah.
He looks like a pillar.
Yeah. Yes.
He looks damn good here. But he came off as a goof to start. He entered as a fuck up.
Well,
he was a badass, and he threw fucking Stone Cold through the cage, and Stone Cold got out of the cage.
Well, he's so strong that when he threw him, the force of the throw just opened the cage.
But they didn't recognize it as that. They looked at it as, oh, he fucked up. And he got fired.
Yeah, they play him. He's got that dumb Giant persona.
Right.
I still think they should have went a different direction with his debut. But
I think they just said, no, well, that's because you're from WCW. So
yeah, right,
push it on you.
Yep.
And we'll build you up later.
They never really treated guys that came over from WCW that well right off the bat. Even Jericho. He has the great debut,
Ever.
But then... You know, he kind of hits mediocrity pretty quickly. And then, before he finds a footing,
exactly.
You know, it's Chris Jericho.
Or even Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero. Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
To
be fair with Guerrero, hurt himself on the first match.
Yes, you're right. That's true. Well, this match isn't going to last long. We got Test.
Oh, we got the Boss Man on the outside, though.
Yeah, Boss Man is in a feud with Test right now, at this point.
That was an awesome choke slam.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, nice choke slam.
Held it there perfectly. Kept the form.
Oh, Boss Man's got his nightstick going. He's acting like he's going to hit Boss Man, Big Show, but... He's probably gonna nail Test. Oh, now he's gonna run out of dodge.
Also, Tim White is the referee.
Yes, Tim White, my boy.
I love Tim White.
Mike likes White, hates Hebner.
I hate Hebner.
I'm a Kyoto guy myself.
You like Kyoto?
Tim White, I love Kyoto.
I'm cool with Kyoto.
And Jimmy Corderas is awesome.
Jimmy Corderas. Old timer, Jimmy Corderas.
Tim White is a trooper. Like he had to retire because of I think it was Hell in a Cell. Yeah. Oh yeah, he was Andre's handler, but I think he was like refereeing a Hell in a Cell match and he took a bump. And I think he messed up his shoulder bad, so he had to retire as a referee.
Oh really?
Yeah. I think his career ended because of a match he was a part of, he was reffing.
I think it's
something where he hurt his shoulder, because a little bit after that, they started doing the backstage skits where he keeps trying to kill himself.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Those were woof. Those were dark.
Yeah, it was a very dark time.
Well,
Damn. Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Rock time.
Oh, this is before. Yeah, I forgot. I always forgot this. The first one started. The first theme started. Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
So this is the beginning, basically, of Babyface Rock. People's Rock.
I'd like to compare.
You guys can
like,
talk. Fuck yeah, Michael Cole.
I was going to say, no, I'd like to compare. I'd love to see a side by side. This Rock is this Dwayne Johnson Rock character compared to the Dwayne Johnson Rock that we know of now with the bald head and all the ink, where he's just got the little Brahma bull tattoo and he's wearing his little vest with the gold chain. It's so 90s. It's so 90s and it's awesome. Everybody wore a chain.
It looks fucking good here. Stone Cold still wears his chain. Because
now, was that the, is that Brian Pillman?
That's Brian Pillman's chain, yep. When they became the Hollywood Blondes, Brian Pillman gave him a chain. He's worn it for the rest of his life. And a little sneak preview. Bottom Line Wrestling Cast is going to have a special series of the Hollywood Blondes. 3-episode series coming up.
Nice.
Over the next year.
Very cool.
All right, let's lay out for the Rock here. So you go on and let the great one be the first one to break the bad news to you two, Rudy.
Like the Rock was saying, let him be the first one to break the bad news to you two, Rudy Pooh Candy Asses. That you damn sure checked in, you two will damn sure check out. But you don't check out without a little departing gift from the Rock, which is his fist in your mouth and his foot in your ass.
Crowd trying to guess what he's saying at that line right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, you and The Rock, tonight, tag team, make no mistake about it. You damn right we'll fight the fight. But we ain't partners, we ain't buddies, and we damn sure ain't friends. So if you so much tonight get in The Rock's way, this Brahma Bull will dip his head, take his horns, and stick them straight up your ass.
Here comes our boy. Fucking hat on. Hit a vest. He got the mic already in his hand. He's coming out like, fuck this shit.
Man on a mission right there.
Hell yeah. Oh, just pegging off the crowd.
I think he was pegging off the Rock as he walked by.
Yeah.
Right in his face.
That too. And it's taped, so they usually blur it out, but they didn't. Because this was taped 2 days earlier on the 27th.
He won't make eye contact with The Rock. Just completely flip him with a bird every time.
This particular version, this version of Austin only has one knee brace.
Yeah.
Hey, then he's not at 2 braces yet. We're keeping track of that.
He's getting there, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's sure. It's crazy when he has two, but we'll let him talk to us here.
Last week and tonight you come out here talking all your trash about Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'll tell you this, you will always be, in my eyes, some punk kid running around out here spitting out nursery rhymes. Saying what you're going to do, turn your little horn sideways because you're the Brahma Bull. Stone Cold Steve Austin will knock him stupid horns right off your head, wipe your ass, put you on a barbecue grill, and that's all I got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that is the underrated Austin line. Nobody ever talks about that. That's all I got to say about that. That's a line. Now here sure comes fucking Shano. I want a t-shirt made. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Uh-oh.
Ah, fuck off. I'm thinking it's going to take 10 minutes to get down here.
I will say, I do love this Ministry music.
It's good music. Who the fuck's he with? What?
This just makes Shane look even... If you didn't hate Shane enough, there's more. Basically turning on his sister here. The Undertaker and Shane McMahon standing side by side. Wait a minute. There's Triple H, Paul Bearer. It's the Corporation and the Ministry of Darkness. My God, Michael, if they joined forces? What the hell is going on? Look at that. And this is where we have the corporate ministry, correct, Mike? And Jeffrey?
Corporate ministry? Well, not yet. Not quite yet.
I think you might coin the term right here.
Getting there. Oh, motherfucker! not quite yet. Fuck.
He lost 2-1.
God damn.
Shane McMahon with the wink, so cocky.
That's what happens when I don't watch ahead. I usually watch ahead for everything.
I mean,
I love the lighting they used there too. That was really cool.
Yeah, the purple tones and shit.
Yeah.
Corporate ministry. Wow. I feel like they cut that short.
Hard hitting Kevin Kelly here with the Kane and X-Bot.
Hey, he stole my name. By the bloodbath from the brood, as we take a look
at some footage from last Monday, you'll see once again the bloodbaths.
Hey, remember the old thought that X-Pac and Kane were partners, so Kane had the green costume? You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Jeffrey, you remember that?
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to figure out here. So we know that Triple H and China are part of the corporate ministry. What about the Outlaws?
They're on their own thing. They've been separate for a while.
Yeah, Road Dogg was the hardcore champion for a little bit.
And Billy Gunn was doing IC. Then they got back together just recently for tags. So they've avoided DX shit for a couple months. At this point.
Oh, draws.
Draws.
And the first name of Prince Albert versus the Hip Hop Hippo versus Tensai versus Albert versus whatever else he had.
Oh, man, I hated draws. I forgot about this draws. This makes me dislike him even more.
Yeah, didn't he? Like, I think he tattooed on like a Sunday Night Heat or something. He tattooed Val Venus or something. I can't remember who.
Oh, you might be right about that.
Yeah, I forget, but that does sound familiar.
That fits the storyline.
I love D'Lo Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I do too, but Ivory is the worst. Ivory is like just a lady yapping at you.
She's just a ball of energy. Some guys like that stuff, man. I like D'Lo, though, when he had the vest.
Yeah,
he tore his pectorals, and then he wore like the vest the entire time.
And he has the dive, the splash. Right, that was his finisher.
Yep.
The frog splash.
The frog splash.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he
yeah,
still
yeah.
used it.
He had about the sky high as is a signature, and then I believe it was the frog splash. And then he would do the slam. Then he would do the head bob and a leg
drop. The head bob. That's just key for him. I used to, like, when I'd create a wrestler, you could pick taunts. And I'm pretty sure if he was in the game, I'd pick his taunt on my create a wrestler.
Well, I mean, it's still prevalent today, but it's like every wrestler, for the most part, had a, like, their own, like, hand gesture or signal or pose to make them unique and stand out, you know?
Hey, Jeffrey, your ref is in the ring right now. Jimmy Kaderis.
Dude is very active on Twitter, and he works. He actually has good discussions with fans about stuff, which is cool.
Oh, really?
And, you know, not to be too much of a side, but we're going to see a running powerbomb from D'Lo Brown. That's what caused Draws to be paralyzed. They had a match together. D'Lo Brown was doing the running powerbomb, and Draws slipped. That's a little fun fact.
Guess he didn't.
I don't know how fun it is, but
fun fact. Yeah. But yeah, shit.
Not fun if you know Draws.
We just watched it, and then he would fucking succumb to that.
Couple months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man.
Guess he didn't learn there. Whose fault was it? How was that?
He D'Lo, I think, took all the blame for himself, but I think Draws was kind of like, listen, it happens. It's, you know, it's. I just he didn't. Like, you know, hold him right, or he went down too early, and it just that power bomb was just, he just fell on his head instead of his back.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't intentional. So,
yeah, not with D'Lo.
True professional. Great move there. There's the sky high, setting up the. Frog splash.
Frog splash.
Jeffrey called it.
Now, what is Ivory doing on the apron?
Oh!
Distracting the ref.
That's Albert.
Albert with the. I hate that.
What?
Like, so she came down with D'Lo, and then she's distracting the ref?
That's what I'm saying. I think that was a miscue. Like, what was she doing on the apron?
As he's going for his finisher.
Yeah.
Like, you know how this works, Ivory. How many times have you been at ringside? Sky high. Finisher. She, like Prue said, she's out there yapping.
Come on.
D'Lo.
This match is too long.
D'Lo's controlling the match. Draws is just like taking a beating. Albert's getting involved again.
Well, now he's going to toss him. We got a DQ.
Oh, that's a big move.
Oh, they're trying to show off his strength. Yeah, so that's a good spot, though.
Because he's relatively new.
There should be another girl coming out of the... She's running away.
Ivory's getting back up.
Oh. Well, that's her... That's the Pearson, buddy. What a fucking shitty gimmick. I have tattoos and Pearson, so this is my Pearson, buddy.
Hey, Bruce the Barbaric Beefcake head. Oh, here comes Mark Henry.
Yeah. Oh, Mark Henry's
Love
back.
Mark Henry.
Oh, it's been months, though.
And that green suit.
Only he could rock a green suit.
He's like Steve Harvey. Kings of comedy.
He's got a lot left in the tank.
That smile. Helping his boy out.
Now is this? I'm trying to remember. Is this pre or post sexual chocolate?
Pre. He kind of has.
Hey, Ivory. Fuck off. That's what he needs to say, because PMS fucked me up. Jackie. Terry, they fucked me up.
They did.
Get out of here, girls.
Yeah, they did. They both played him like a fool. And then she just ran on D'Lo. They don't notice it yet, though.
They, like, grabbed his balls and shit. All right, so we got the Road Dog and Billy Gunn with Kevin Kelly, and who gives a fuck what they say? I'm going to say, I'm going to take a piss right now, so JV and Jay Free, take it over.
All right, so this is okay, so they are still aligned with X-Pac at this point.
Yeah.
But this is where the Billy Gunn is starting to sow the seeds, because this is around the time I think he wins the next King of the Ring tournament.
Right.
And becomes Mr. Ass or whatever he
does. I think it's Mr. Ass. I think you're right. It's Mr. Ass.
Yeah, after the split from the Road Dogs. So I think they're sowing the seeds of dissension here. Because wasn't if I'm not mistaken, Road Dogg and X-Pac were a team for a while too. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah, not up to this point, but in the future, you're saying? Yes.
Right, so I think they're sowing the seeds now with, you know, Road Dogg saying, yeah, you know, X-Pac's our boy, and then Billy Gunn saying, yeah, you know, there are no friends or whatever.
They're trying to get, like, the, you know, trying to make an attempt to get the band back together, or what's left of them.
Yeah, the dissension in the ranks. Yeah. Show and... That's another thing I miss is, like, with today's, you know, product. I get it, but, like, just the pyro that he had in that match as he's doing the crotch chop. I thought, like, added so much to the... And then even this with Kane. I don't know if they still... I don't think they do it in the front anymore at the stage. They might. I know they used to do the
ring
post.
No, I don't think they do the ring post anymore. I think there's like... because
No, same for this entrance.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, they did do the fire on the stage. Okay.
But this is a key part of the production aspect of the show. You know, when you're watching it.
Yes. You know, I like to be taken out of the matches. Like, you know, what do they call it? Like, suspend my disbelief when I watch this stuff. But it's kind of tough. Like, when Kane always used to wrestle, if he would do the pose and the fire would shoot up out of the ring post before he wrestled, I always knew he was losing that match.
Really? I never caught that.
Because they're not going to... Yeah, anytime he would do the fire in the post first, he wouldn't win because he would do it at the end of his match to, you know, celebrate
No shit.
But if you ever did it first, it's like, well, they're not going to reload the post with the pyro after the fact.
And yeah, I don't think they have two shots. So he's not winning that match. They have like rounds in them. That's a good point.
So like, if he's going to do it now, it's this match. Okay, so this match, I'm going to play Nostradamus. Is it going to end in a disqualification, or the Outlaws are going to win?
All right, let's see.
I want to point out that I don't know the whole legalities of it, but they're using the actual old scratch WWF logos, and they don't have them blurred out.
Yeah, they don't blur a lot of that stuff out.
So I know for a while, once they switched over to WWE, they were blurring it all out, but I think that was during the whole litigation with the World Wildlife Fund.
They do with certain audio, though. So, like, theme songs and shit.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that in ECW. They, like, don't play where they were using, like, mainstream songs.
Yeah.
They edited the audio out.
Fun fact about Jay Free. The first t-shirt I ever bought was, I believe it's that Road Dogg shirt that he's wearing.
No shit.
I still have that in my closet.
A true showman, Road Dogg.
Yeah. I love the Road Dogg.
If they could have put like combined Road Dogg and Billy Gunn into like this one wrestler, so gave Billy Gunn like Road Dogg's like skills,
his athleticism.
Yeah,
yep.
It would have been it could have been like a big time singles champion. Instead, they are one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
I agree, and it's a formula that worked for them.
Yep.
He doesn't even want to do his two-word part.
No, suck it.
Billy Gunn is that. I'm saying they're sowing the seeds of dissension right now.
You can see. Sorry, guys. I'm jumping in.
Yeah, to catch you up, basically, we were just talking about how Billy Gunn doesn't really see X-Pac as a friend right now, even though Road Dogg is like, yeah, you know, it's tough going against your buddy. So the remaining members of DX right here going at it. And Billy Gunn is starting to sow the seeds of turning heel, as you were, who the phrase would be, because I believe he became King of the Ring in 99.
Yes.
I know this is a Stone Cold podcast, but it led to one of the Rock's catchphrases, it doesn't matter what your name is, because he did a promo after Billy Gunn won King of the Ring, and I believe it was 99.
Yeah, we're coming up on that, right? For a couple months?
Yeah, a couple months, yeah. We're going into May. Next episode. It's May.
It's in what, September? King of the Ring? Oh, no, it's June. June. All right, so it's that close. Okay.
Yeah, so we're just like 4 or 5 fantastic. Weeks away. Yeah. So probably 2-3 episodes away.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but I figured it's not going to be a huge Stone Cold.
Yeah, we're not too. We're not too, like, we don't really care about spoilers.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we assume most of our listeners are pretty much reliving, you know, something they've already
Billy
experienced.
Gunn. Yeah. Now, Billy Gunn's not wearing a chain, but he is wearing dog tags.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, Billy Gunn.
I like Billy Gunn. Even today, I still like him.
I like him.
It's so weird.
Weird guy character.
With all the tag teams especially when I was younger, I always liked I always liked the lesser known or the lesser popular partner.
I was the same way.
Like I liked Road Dogg, even though he wasn't like the best wrestler. Marty Jannetty was my guy in the Rockers. The Anvil was my guy in the Hart Foundation. Christian, my favorite tag team of all time, Edge and Christian, and Christian's still probably my favorite.
You know,
I gotta say Christian.
You know, my brother was the same way, like Anvil over the Rock, over Bret Hart, Marty Jannetty. He was a huge. I mean, he was really young, but he loved Marty Jannetty. So that's funny. Yeah, my brother always liked players, wrestlers.
And from what I hear about wrestlers that talk about the Midnight Rockers back in the mid-80s, the mid to late 80s, they always thought Marty Jannetty was going to be the star.
Mm-hmm.
Not Shawn Michaels. But there you go.
Yeah, going back to Edge and Christian, I met both of them at different times, and they were both like just the coolest like people. Like just like the most like laid back and just easygoing people.
Yeah, they seem like fans.
Yeah, well, I met Edge years ago in FCW. I was visiting a friend in Florida. We went to an FCW show before it became NXT. And he was just there signing autographs. And I just said, hey, I appreciate everything you do. And he goes, well, I appreciate you appreciating me. And it was just like, he was just like so chill about it. Like, yeah, man, it's cool. Like, that's awesome. I'm glad you're a fan. Like,
nah, was this pre or post retirement?
This is pre.
Pre?
This is pre, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then Christian I met recently awesome. At a Comic-Con, and he was just like, he's just really like cool. It's like, let's do a 5-second pose. Let's do this. And I'm like, oh, it's so awesome.
That's one thing in my experience going to Comic-Cons. The wrestlers are they're better at interacting with the crowd, you know, like fans that come up to them and shit, than like, you know, a lot of other actors that are there, just based on my experience. Outside of like Bret Hart, who I didn't get to meet, but I heard he's kind of like a stiff when you meet him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on.
Well, I guess it makes sense because actors, like wrestlers, they interact with people, whereas actors don't always interact with people.
Wrestlers have more of a reaction from their audience because it's more like live theater, if you will. So they're more accustomed to trying to elicit that response. As actors are just more trying to, you know, they're not getting that instant feedback. They're relying on the director to tell them how the take was. And
what were you saying? I didn't mean to cut you off.
But yeah, I've met my fair share of guys that were like, they were all right. I wasn't like blown away. Like Billy Gunn was okay with me. Like he was cool. He wasn't like anything over. This is, you know, they don't know who he is because he came a little bit later. Damian Sandow was kind of all right too. Like he was nothing to like write home about, but like Goldust was awesome. I met him. I met Mick Foley. Mick Foley's always been amazing.
Yeah, I see Mick Foley at shit, and he's always like he looks like the happiest guy in the building.
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, I love these. I love these punches.
Yeah,
there's a little shuffle.
Oh, Showman! Boom.
Hold up. Yep. Nice.
It's been a bad match so far, though.
Double drop kick. Nice.
No, but
nice pace to it.
He's going to do the shimmy with the knees. Are we going to see a sit-up? Yeah.
Yep. So we're about three quarters of the way. Two thirds of the way through the show. Jeez, math. What do you guys think of the first pilot episode of SmackDown so far?
Oh, it seems like a Raw at this point to me.
Same here.
It's just a continuation of the storylines. But it hasn't been promoted as a new show. It's always been promoted as it's a special edition. It's a special episode called SmackDown on UPN. So it's not supposed to be this.
But I think
new
it's
show.
Good so far. Like, it's doing its job.
Yeah. Yeah, the matches are legit Kyoto, matches that you should Kyoto's tune in
lost
for.
Lost all control of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyoto doesn't know what he's
There's
doing.
There's no count.
But I give him a break because he's not Earl Hebner.
You hate Earl Hebner.
No, because Earl Hebner would be trying to fight Billy Gunn right now. He'd be arguing with somebody. Just fuck Earl Hebner.
Oh no. Oh.
Jay Free, you need to go back.
That's crazy.
And watch some Earl Hebner matches. Man. I'm telling you.
This looks really bad for Road Dogg and Billy Gunn here.
Yeah, well, Kane's not calling.
My prediction was wrong, but I think it's going to be because of the angle after the match. So, Prue, what I was saying to JV is I always used to know back in the day when Kane would either be winning or losing a match, because if he did the ring post pyro before the match, he wasn't going to be doing it after the match, so he typically lost. He would lose if he did the pyro first. But because of the schmoz with the Outlaws, that's why they didn't do that, because they weren't going to celebrate.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's still played into, your prediction there.
And I have a question. Right, why is Austin putting his knee brace back on? He had it on earlier in the night.
Yeah, he's gonna wrestle tonight. But
that was a nice spot.
Yeah. This is a nice spot. So we got more of them arguing with each other. Like, we need more dissension within the DX and the Road Dogg and all this shit. Let's break it all apart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
And is that a Dave Hebner sighting?
Well, last week, though, Billy Gunn debuted with his "Well, I'm a Nice Man." His new music debuted. So this might have been the end.
Love
this is so weird.
Of the New Age Outlaws.
This was my entrance when I created a wrestling video games too. Always.
This is one of the best.
They come up through
ever.
The ring and they probably do like the D-Lo head nod, head bob. That was my creative character.
Jay Free, if you don't recognize this beat, it's "Smack My Bitch Up." Boom, boom, boom. Smack my bitch up.
I did not know that.
Prodigy? Yeah, I didn't know that till you said that either.
Prodigy. Smack my bitch.
It's like the same.
That's
year,
what it is.
Oh, I think I know what.
Roughly?
I think right I know what this is time. Leading to. Because I don't know if he goes by Michael Hayes right now or if he's still Doc Hendricks.
Is Michael. I think he just turned to Michael Hayes.
I think I know what this is leading to.
Think.
You want me, I don't, you want me to spoil it?
That?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is going to be the
Hardy Boys?
The Hardy Boys and the Brood ladder match coming up, but I think this is where. I think this is
I
where Michael
like
Hayes
like
aligns himself with the Hardy Boys, and then he wears that way too tight t-shirt.
It might be this match. Oh, look at his gut. I think they're going up against the Hardy Boys in this match.
Because
right.
I think they do the ladder match in like the fall of 99.
Yeah, I don't know. Fortunately, the Undertaker's thoughts and feelings were not the same as ours.
We're in the darkness we seek. Yeah, I was did you want us to lay out or
are we listening to this promo?
I'll,
<We're talking. laughs>
I'm listening to it. I like the brute, so.
Yeah, yeah, fuck it.
I want to hear what they have to say.
All right, let's lay out. In the hereafter, and the power is what we seek,
and it's within all of us, and we just have to. It's funny that at this point, Gangrel is the best promo of the three. Thinking about where all three of these guys have gone.
He is. Christian's the best of all of them. I don't care. Christian's better than Edge. They will understand. Edge is only good because he gets the fuck hot chicks. That's my. Lies within us,
and it's look at him.
The unholy truth. I'll defend that. Christian is better than Edge. Bottom line.
Oh, he's still Doc.
So, Doc, I suggest that you beware.
Uh-oh.
Because the freaks come out.
The freaks come out at night.
Just now.
The freaks come out at night.
This guy's just smoking.
Oh, good promo. Seriously, it's nothing. All right, make sure, David, make sure we're playing this audio. Jay Free's right because he brings the Hardy Boys.
Calls him Michael here. Yeah.
After this. Smack my bitch.
Yeah, going back to the Edge and Christian thing, I think Edge had a lot better like character development. But Christian leaving and going to Impact for a while, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, he became a big star over there. Christian Cage. Hey, I actually signed up for the Impact Network. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's great.
Really?
It's all the pay-per-views, all the shows. I'm like seeing shit that I never seen. It's like amazing. And all the new shit's on there. Certainly has been a long $7 a month.
It's not bad at all. It was last Monday on Raw where you came down to the ring preparing. So this is wielding the same bat. Yeah, and this is
so Bradshaw's wrestling Shamrock, right?
Not APA Bradshaw. Premeditated assault by the Acolyte, where they had, for lack of a better term, the UPN symbols drawn on their chest with a Sharpie magic marker.
UPN symbols.
Yeah. You cost me that match against Undertaker Bradshaw, and tonight you will pay. The Rock actually gave Ken Shamrock a shout out on Twitter.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. Like, what do you think of like Shamrock in this time? I thought he could have done.
I think he's awesome.
I think what hurt him is Shamrock's that Stone Cold became, I don't know, probably what he could have been.
I think they had a very
like an anti-authority figure.
That, or I think he could have had like, I really like the thing where he's kind of like just like a wrestler until something happens where he snaps and then he kind of loses control. That, yeah. I love that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could do anything where he's just having like a straight up wrestling mat, then like whatever, like somebody out wrestles them and then all of a sudden they get a little cocky and they like slap him in the face and that just like flips that switch on him and he just goes into like berserk mode.
Oh.
Yep, I was a big Shamrock fan.
Shamrock would have been big if Bret Hart stayed around.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Like, so I look at this. What do you think of people like Shamrock and say like Steve Blackman and Dan Severn if they were in the company today? Because we see a lot more with like the athleticism, you know, and a lot like for you want to talk about like, you know, Rollins and maybe like Balor and all like, you know, some of these other guys. You know, Gable and just guys that are more like pure athlete, like wrestler types, like against somebody that have been studying, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and MMA and stuff like that. Do you think that they could have flourished more in today's environment?
I think Shamrock could have flourished more because, you know, assuming he's fighting in UFC at this time too, because UFC is a lot bigger now than it was then. Because then it was still like an underground thing. You'd have to pay, watch it on pay-per-view. You know, it took them a while to get fights out because they had to figure out what states they were sanctioned to actually have the fights in. Rules were constantly changing. So I think Shamrock, assuming, you know, all things constant, say he was like as successful in UFC now as he was then, I think he'd excel. I think he'd be champion. I think he'd be a universal champion or whatever.
Could you see like somebody like him versus like a Samoa Joe or him like versus like a Lesnar?
Lesnar would be perfect. That they'd make so much money off that.
Yeah, or Shamrock Lesnar, that would be
him and Kurt Angle.
Huge.
Oh yeah, that too. Now that's assuming Shamrock at this age now. Like, not, obviously not Shamrock, however old he is now.
Right, but I'm saying say he would, because Angle.
Well, that's the crazy thing, is that I'm gonna cut you off, Jeffrey. But they were only a year off. Shamrock was gone, and Angle came in.
Yep.
If they would have just met in the middle there, that would have been a great feud. But there's no way that would have happened at that time, storyline wise.
Why did Shamrock leave? I forget.
That would have.
Did he go back to fighting? I think so.
I can't remember. Oh. I know he was dating the girl that was supposed to be playing his sister or whatever.
He wasn't happy with booking.
Oh, he was dating Ryan Shamrock. He was dating Ryan Shamrock for a while.
No, that's his.
That's what I was saying. So but we just had her recently on the show.
I had nothing to do with the.
No. He's a sister, obviously. Story. So in this storyline, so totally different. But it's funny how he's dating her and she played his sister on TV.
Well, she's fucking gone at this point. Yeah,
the ministry just put her out, right? Like sacrificed.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to read it.
And she was like on a week by week basis too.
Yeah.
They had to pay her. Like, oh, we got to bring this girl back. We got to pay her again. Got to pay this stripper.
That's what she was. Oh no, kidding.
Yeah.
Day job.
That's how they got it.
Honest living. As long as they pay taxes, don't let Ernest Scheister find out.
I have a buddy of mine. We went to
strippers got to pay taxes too.
When we went to a local SmackDown, he dressed up like IRS.
I love the IRS. The typewriter music.
Apparently,
did he have a Ted DiBiase there too?
Shamrock said there was a lot of stuff happening while he was on the road, and he was missing a lot of his kids' stuff, so he decided to step away for a while.
Yeah, makes sense. It's not an easy job. Their job sucks. They make good money, you know, obviously they're famous and shit, but you're definitely not with your family a lot. And if you have a family, that's got to eat away at you. Look at Shamrock winning. Choking him out with the baseball bat.
Choked him out. Hey, about time. Fuck Bradshaw.
He's not letting go.
Don't revert. He might reverse the decision.
Well, I guess that's kind of what we're talking about. Shamrock is pretty badass. Bradshaw's just going to eventually run through everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
No, Brad.
I like that.
Teddy
Bradshaw
Long sighting.
And Farouk.
Six man tag coming up.
One on one with the Undertaker.
Yeah, referee Teddy. Whoa.
Oh, poor Slaughter takes beatings every year.
Slaughter hasn't been around in a while, though. That's random. We're in the boiler room with Mankind. Nice. Meanwhile, Kevin Kelly's in the boiler room with Mankind. All right, let's listen to Mankind. Mankind tonight here on SmackDown, you renew an old rivalry against the Big Boss Man.
You know, Kevin, as I was sitting in this boiler room, I suddenly had the feeling, doggone it, why don't we just call off the whole thing for forgive and forget, let bygones be forgotten. Then I realized if I were to do that, I'd be out of a job, and UPN would be out one sports entertainment spectacular. So for those of you who don't know me, let me explain myself. I sit in boiler rooms because I enjoy the ambiance. I wear a sweaty leather mask because it helps me sell little dolls. I wear a shirt and tie because it looks so damn good. And I will shove this rancid sock that looks a lot like me down the gullet of the boss man because I can. And because the fans seem to enjoy it quite a bit. Have a nice day. Thanks, Buck.
Who the fuck are these bitches?
You talk about promos, man.
He's great, no matter what.
I was saying, look at the setup. There's one little couch in the corner. But yeah, going back to promos, though, man. Like, I feel like Mankind or Mick Foley is almost like he's never really considered. You know, some of the best promos, like you know, you have like The Rock and you have like a Jericho and a Ric Flair and a Dusty Rhodes and Stone Cold, and everybody's good at. I think Mankind, if you go back, or Mick Foley, if you go back and listen, I know you guys are doing the ECW podcast. If you guys find some of his old hardcore promos that he did in ECW, amazing.
Those are great, too.
Amazing.
Yeah, I've listened to some of those. Those are really good.
Jayfree, know what you need to do? For another return episode of JV and I, you need to go
top 10 promo episode. I like that.
That would be fucking great.
Boss man.
I'm already thinking about it. And I know I got to put my boy Shane Douglas in there.
Now, would you want to do just wrestlers that cut good promos? Or do you want like a sample of the promo in there as well?
Well, you got to put a sample.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I wasn't sure if you were looking for wrestlers, if you were looking for an actual promo.
I was thinking actual.
No, like overall, but actual top 10 promos.
Best return of favor with his FUBU jersey.
Shit, we're going to talk about this at a later date. Let's get back to this match.
Again, going back to my earlier point, like, even though, you know, the whole thread, the whole focal point of the show is Austin and The Rock versus in the formation of the corporate ministry. Like, if you really think about this, like, we've already seen Test and the Boss Man in Test match. Now it's they're continuing this story with Test now interfering. And I think this is actually setting up. Yep. This is it. You know what faction this is setting up? This is going to be the Union of People That You Ought to Respect. Also known as Up Yours, because Russo is great with the acronyms. I think in retaliation, it's Shamrock, Foley, Big Show, and Test. And it's the Union of People That You Ought to Respect, Shane, and AKA Up Yours, or however it gets spelled.
That's why Jay Free is with us this week.
It was a very short.
Brings the knowledge.
But
we're watching week by week. He hasn't watched shit, and he comes in fucking knows everything.
I forget what I watched the previous week.
It's a gift
week.
And a curse. Like, you can ask me to remember things I need to know for my job or something else. Oh, look at this. Billy Gunn is snapped.
Kane's protecting his partner.
That's right. Kane's like, fuck off. That's my boy. That's my bitch. It's The Rock. The Rock's big baby face now, and he's going to team up with our man, Stone Cold, on this Bottom Line cast in this shitty-ass t-shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think of this t-shirt? I'm a purist when it comes to Stone Cold. Give me the 316 and give me the skull in the back. Some of the other stuff, like I like the I think he had one shirt with a lettering. I believe it was like a white lettering, or maybe it was like red, and it had like a yellow outline or something like that. I can't remember, but it was on the front. I like the I'm not a big shirt fan where they have the image of their own face or their own of a person on it. I like more like slogans and logos. That. But I think there was one that said I believe it said Other Side Jackass. And then it had the that was a personal favorite of mine. One of the more recent shirts he had was like Raise Hell, Leave or whatever. I thought that one was pretty good.
Yeah, that was one of his like...
Yes? Recent. No, just like 98. Late 98. Like early 99. Yeah. Yep. Arrive, Raise Hell, Leave. Yep. Yeah, those are good ones. I do want to say, I just ordered a bunch of Stone Cold shirts. Stone Cold has this whole new thing on Pro Wrestling Tees. I got fucking three shirts coming in.
Yeah, I tend to go on WWE Shop and they have those clearance sales, and they had a bunch of clearance items for like sleeveless tees and tank top. I got like a Ricochet, I got a Seth Rollins, I got some newer stuff. But I have a whole closet full of old shirts. So like I said, I had that Road Dog shirt. I have the original Jericho shirt, the first WWF Jericho shirt. I have like Evolution. I have a bunch of Randy Orton's because Randy Orton was my boy back in the day. I have the original 316 shirt, the original NWO shirt.
RKO.
So there's some stuff I'll never wear again. But I have a friend of mine who's gonna turn all my old wrestling shirts into a quilt, and I think that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, that's creative.
Because I can't foresee myself living in this climate in this day and age. Wearing an Evolution shirt, and on the back it says paid, laid, and made. And I'm like, yeah, probably not going to do that.
No.
But I'll tell you what I still rock. I still rock my Captain Charisma t-shirt. Yeah.
There you go. Christian, that's your boy.
Here comes The Rock. Here comes the biggest thing in entertainment in 2019.
The Rock's coming down, looking great.
Right, trying to make hundreds of millions of dollars on your movie,
and that's what I say. Like, when you look at the biggest draws in professional wrestling, I don't know if you could put The Rock in the top five. I think you could put Hogan. I think you could put Hogan. You could put Flair. You could put Austin.
Flair.
Maybe Cena, depending on whatever the money they're bringing in. But I think The Rock overall. I think The Rock overall has had the greatest. Like outside of wrestling career, I think bar none.
Yeah, I don't think it's even.
I think Cena's gonna get there.
Well, I think Hogan. I think Hogan's no close.
I think Cena.
No way, Hogan's movies weren't selling.
No,
like
I think
the Rock's
Cena's next.
Yeah, but time period wise, if you compare the period,
even adjusted for inflation, The Rock's worth a lot.
The impact on the industry.
Maybe I'm discounting.
Yeah, I know
Hogan.
He's big mainstream, but
you mean in wrestling dollars?
He wouldn't be as mainstream if it wasn't for Hogan before him.
Right, but.
I think it's dependent on the times, because you say, you know, Hogan with his not to be too on the nose with his penetration and far as entertainment outside of wrestling, like. You got to understand, like the pop culture phenomenon and the way that it was shared on cable during Hogan's time was a lot different than the way cable and television worked during the Attitude Era, versus the way it works now with a lot of social media. It's different from generation to generation.
Right.
So I think if you can say success outside, I'd say The Rock is number one. I think on his heels, but still very far behind, is John Cena. Because Cena's been in a couple of good blockbusters or comedies, and he's doing like some side stuff now. I know he's part of the new Suicide Squad that's coming out.
He was in Bumblebee.
He was in Bumblebee. He's going to be in Suicide Squad coming out.
Big
he's doing the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? He's hosting that. So he's you know what I mean? Like Hogan did movies, but I think movies, again, even for the time that he was doing them, were different. I think it's more mainstream.
Yeah, his movie
accepted.
Sucked. I liked Suburban Commando, but that movie's terrible.
Best line of Suburban Commando is when Undertaker goes, "You're a dead man, Ramsey." He goes, "No wonder you guys don't talk."
I like Dookie.
That was
I like that line. That's in that movie, right?
I believe. Okay.
No, that's in No Holds Barred.
I like that.
Dookie. What Jay Fury was saying, that was. A little other line that most people don't get.
Dead Man Ramsey, he sounds like a little kid.
Yeah. But still, we got this big match going on here. We got fucking Triple H beating on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, he hit in the corner. Gave himself the name The Game. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck The Game. No, who? The Game. The Game. Triple H is The Game. Know who he's ripping off? Jake Free? You need to know who this is. Who's he ripping off from The Game?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know. Is it like, it's a rapper. It's a rapper, right?
All right. No. Not wrestling. No, not a rapper, but a wrestler. And that was on your podcast. I talked about him before.
Well, see, this is...
And I have strong feelings about this guy. I thought he would have been great if he was promoted the right way in WWF. And Triple H stole his on The Game, where he was The Game, where he was this guy. Shane.
Okay, see,
Douglas.
I don't recall that. See, we talk about how I can remember like storylines from, but I can't remember my own show and stuff that happens in my own podcast. But if it's a wrestling or a Simpsons reference or like a quote from The Office, I got you. But if it's something that actually happened to me in real life, I couldn't tell you.
I know. I'm trying to set you up. But Triple H is basically a fucking ripoff of Shane Douglas' franchise gimmick. The Game is the franchise. That's what it is.
Hey, but you know what? Like, not to plug your podcast, but that's something you can go back and listen to your ECW podcast and kind of talk about that along the same time. So talk about the cast of characters in ECW. They had very interesting characters too. And that you know, big, like, kind of bigger picture, they talk about how the Attitude Era is basically a ripoff of ECW too.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, not exactly, but
well, they got edgier. I mean, a lot of the stuff that's happening
is legit.
That was happening in WCW, wasn't WWE kind of like low key, like copying it?
I know from ECW. I know, like, for example, they were talking about, like, basically the whole Stone Cold character is essentially the Sandman, as far as like.
Yeah, and you've said that, Mike. You've said that's why. That's
yes.
Why. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've said
so
that.
Like, it just, you know, that point only like helped that argument.
Sandman. He's like you, Whipwreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as much as they were competing with WCW, they were more, I think, definitely stealing more from
they're
like.
Now
look
from
at this huge
ECW.
Faction of the corporate ministry.
All right, so we go.
Yeah, this
shit show here.
They are a massive
here we go.
Faction. They're all heavyweights. All
right. Yeah. Huge. Everyone's attacking Steve Austin.
Yours.
We're getting. Up yours. Yeah, you fucking got up yours. And we totally missed out on up yours.
I think you'll be seeing it a little bit later in the upcoming episodes. So basically, the union cleaned out the rest of the corporate ministry, which left Taker and Triple H with Austin and The Rock alone in the ring. No DQ, apparently.
Undertaker. Right. Undertaker
okay.
Just hit a big
boot to Triple
Austin.
H in the crowd.
He's going to set him up for, looks like a net breaker, but Austin gets out. Undertaker gets a chokeslam. Weak ass chokeslam. Shane wants to give him a chair. And we got father in law. Oh, wow. McMahon knocks his ass down.
Child abuse.
Well, not when he's 30.
Damn.
Oh,
that was loud.
Boom. Chest shot.
Took an unprotected chair shot to
the head. Man's doing nothing.
Undertaker standing tall.
Is anybody going to do anything about this? Yeah, Stone Cold, maybe.
And again, they're
taking
the storyline, you know, McMahon paying back the favor that Stone Cold did for him, saving Stephanie.
Oh! Stunner! Sorry, jumping.
I guess it was a DQ. I didn't hear the bell.
Yeah, there wasn't a DQ at all.
Shane all up in his dad's face.
There's no ref.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fucking random. He gave a stunner, the music hit, then it was like nothing happened. No, Shane's there. He's running away. And a stunner to Shane.
Stone Cold closes the show.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
On top.
It's cool, but it's taped, so they edited it. It's not that great. Now he's catching his beers. He's going to drink his beers. Earl Hebner better
not run in there. I hope he hits Shane with another stunner.
What the fucking?
This is not going to be the one where he does the fountain with the beer, is it?
Shit, you're on a streak. I don't know. You might be right.
Jim Cornette.
Oh, no. Shane rolled out. Shane rolled out.
Vince McMahon. It's a good SmackDown. Our first show.
Hey, this is, yeah. Great. Well, I talked about it last week with you, and you didn't totally agree with me, but I thought the SmackDown would have been like a ratings grab for UPN to see if the show would bring in ratings. Because the show wouldn't premiere.
I don't think that's what I disagree. I disagree with you on NXT, not that.
Well, the same logic that NXT did that months ago.
Well, didn't WCW have Thunder?
That's what I was arguing.
Thunder was before SmackDown.
Right? Yeah, they did the same exact thing too. They premiered it months before they went weekly.
Right. That's what I was saying about NXT though too. Like my whole point is that they release these shows to compete.
Well, and again at the time, you know, going back to my earlier point, like television at this point, it was all about ratings. It wasn't about social media scores or you know, there was no such thing as DVR or on demand. So you had to watch it live or you had to record it. So it's one of those things where, you know, with the, you know, both companies essentially in competition with each other, with wrestlers jumping in between companies, the more you could promote that show and bring more eyes to it, you know, it just made sense. So it's like if your competition is doing something and it's proving to be somewhat successful, well, let's do that too, but let's do it better than our competition. And you're kind of seeing that in today's day and age with NXT. You know, I don't know how much you guys talk about current stuff, but AEW, you know, their show is going to be on TNT on Wednesday nights. And, you know, 2 weeks before AEW starts, they decided to start putting NXT live on USA. Like right. They're trying to get ahead of the game and get that audience and build that audience before AEW premieres.
Yep, they don't want to fall behind. So it's not like WWE is being like progressive or like, you know, doing this because they want to kind of see, you know, hey, how will a second show do? It's like, all right, this other company's putting out a show. We need to suffocate it.
Yeah, we need to put our other show up against it and see.
And in the 90s, you know, back to your point where, like you said, Jeff, Jeffrey, people don't, you have to watch it live. You couldn't DVR it. You couldn't go back and watch it online on YouTube highlights or anything like that. You know, ratings, as you said, were, you know, that's what drove everything. And the fear of missing out. Yeah, the fear of missing out was at its peak then. Because if you missed it, you had to wait. You had to hear everyone else talk about it or avoid those people for like a solid week or a few days and hope you found it in the TV guide and it was on television again.
Right. You know, I remember talking to our buddy Marty and be like, he'll call me on the phone. Like, yo, Kevin Nash is on Nitro right now. Turn the channel. Like, that kind of thing was going on at that time. Like, you need to change the channel. Get actual phone call to your house.
Yeah, before cell phones.
Weird. Well, before internet, before everything.
Yeah.
So, funny story. You mentioned Kevin Nash, which I thought was hilarious. Offline, we were talking about John Wick, and I was watching it, and it's got a lot of different people you might know, but one of the characters that has maybe about 45 seconds of screen time in John Wick is Kevin Nash. And I was like, I'm watching it. I'm like, holy shit, that's Kevin Nash in John Wick. And it's, yeah, he plays a
Super Shredder.
Yeah, Super Shredder, or the Russian from the Thomas Jane Punisher movie. But he plays like a doorman or like a bouncer. And John Wick walks up to him, and Kevin Nash recognizes him, says, he's like, oh, I'm going to let you leave. I'm not going to kill you. And he's like, thank you, thank you. And he just walks off. And it's just like, I'm like, holy shit, that was Kevin Nash. That's crazy.
Wow. That's awesome.
But I love this episode. This is a great watch along. Like the initial.
Yeah, this was fun.
The initial start of SmackDown.
All right, so let's get into the bottom line and wrap up. And we'll get into the oh, hell no moments of the week. Jay Free, we're going to start with you.
Oh, hell no would be the inclusion of Nicole Bass into the Val Venus storyline. Oh, hell no. She doesn't need to be on my screen.
We've talked about that for like 2 weeks. So that's a great one. It's not new, but hey, fuck it. She sucks.
Yeah.
So fuck her. Hey.
My oh, hell no is Ivory in the D-Lo situation.
Yeah.
And that whole shit show. So where she kinda like costing the match and then they're taking her back and Mark Henry comes in for the save, like, eh. It's like she cost you the match, bro. Let her know at least. You can't do this anymore.
I do want to point out to Jay Free that for the past weeks you've been on top of Blumini. And Nicole Bass and anything involved in that gimmick. That's what we've been all over. So I'm not even going to give it an all hell no, because that is what I'm on top of. So you guys covered it. And since I'm kind of hosting you guys, I'm not giving anything. So I'm just going to continue on. So let's move on to the oh hell yeah moment of the week. Start with JV first.
My oh hell yeah moment is actually the close of the show. It's the pilot episode of SmackDown, and it's the top guy in the company ending the show on top, banging out stunners to everybody. And I just think it was the correct booking decision, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll jump in right now. We always steal each other's thunder because we do this week to week, and yeah, that's what I had. And there wasn't much to it because it was just one episode. And our boy Stone Cold fucking stole the show with The Rock in this great main event for the opening of SmackDown. So I totally agree with you there. Jay Free, what you got?
I have two. I don't want to break format.
Holy but
I have
shit. Two.
I thoroughly enjoyed the beginning of The Rock. Face turn and the start of his baby face run. So that was good. But more importantly, in the interest of the bottom line wrestle cast here, I have to say the formation of the corporate ministry, because I think it leads to one of the greatest moments in the fabled storyline between Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm going to just set that up. I won't give the bottom line or the punchline or spoil that for you. But that's just a nice teaser with the formation of the corporate ministry. We're leading to a moment on, I believe it's on Raw, which elicits the response of JR. I believe his official response is, aw, son of a bitch. And I think you know what that leads to, what that revelation is. And I just think that the formation of the corporate ministry and to find out how that really formed and who's really running the show, I think was a great turning point in the overall storyline between one Stone Cold Steve Austin and the McMahon family.
Yeah, oh. Such a great. I don't know. I'll let Prude decide if he wants to spoil it up, but Yeah, that's that's a great plot point we lead up to there.
Yeah. Like,
I already picture his face.
That's great shit going forward.
Yeah, so
I think that's even a GIF, however you say it, like Vince McMahon's face after all that.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along. And
the demented smile.
Yeah, so we're building up to that. That's probably weeks away. And, man, the way that you're already...
I'm glad you brought that up, dude.
The way that you're even building that up, I think we need to have you back in a couple of weeks.
Hey, anytime you want to have me on. This is fun. This is good stuff.
We usually do this on like a Monday or a Tuesday, but hey, we'll figure it out.
I record my show on a Tuesday, but hey, I can always take a week off and jump on your show.
Awesome. So Jay Free, he's fucking the man. He's got Free a Geek
joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know you guys do plugs and stuff like that, so. Yeah, feel free to reach out, Free Your Geek, on pretty much everything you listen to, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're on a couple different things. We have a Facebook page, Free Your Geek on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, Free Your Geek on both of those. I have a website, J Free the Geek, JFREETheGeek.com. Yeah, that's it. So feel free to give us a follow. We talk everything from comic books to video games to nerd culture, which is kind of, I like dipping my toes in the wrestling world from time to time because I'm a big fan of that. Unfortunately, some of my co-hosts don't really follow, so it's kind of tough to talk about that. So that's why with Prue and JV saying, hey, man, we have this awesome podcast, you know, the career retrospective of Stone Cold, and to kind of jump on and kind of relive a little bit of that, it was so much fun. So thank you guys for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. What do you got coming up, though? What, episode 80? I know episode 79 you had Sol on.
Yeah, my buddy Sol, graduated high school with him way back in the day. He's kind of a really well-learned geek nerd. You know, he's into, like, Dungeons & Dragons, but he reads a lot, and he's into, like, video games, and he's just a really well-spoken dude, big fan of Voltron. We got into Voltron. I never got into Voltron, but he was a big fan, so... I had him like sell me on that. We talked about the Joaquin Phoenix Joker trailer, which I think looks amazing. Awesome. Things coming up that we got coming up. I saw It Chapter 2. I'll probably talk about that. There's some other casting news with the Suicide Squad. I kind of led into a little bit of that when we talked about that. They're eyeing Haley Steinfeld as possible Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series for Disney Plus. So I might talk about that a little bit, but yeah, we're going to just be talking more, you know, anything geek culture. We kind of like try to get on top of that week's worth of news. We just like to have discussions. We talk about a lot of different shows that are streaming on your different streaming platforms. We basically talked about The Boys. I think, I don't know if I got JV in, or I know, I think Prue, was it you that said that you kind of, listened to the podcast and decided to pick up the comics?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was me. So, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, again, that series was good. You know, there's more rumors coming out. So, yeah, we just pretty much, I keep my ear to the ground in the whole geek culture, and any article that comes out, rumor that's kind of circulating, I kind of pick up on that, and we have some discussions. But I'm always, you know, looking for guests. So anytime you guys want to be on the show, you know, feel free. We can talk about all kinds of stuff.
All right. So let me just... shout out some other podcasts that we're pals with other than Free Your Geek, and that is the Talking Taker podcast, and that is the podcast that's similar to ours where they break down the career of the Undertaker going back from 1991 all the way to this point where they're at 2005. So take a listen to Alex Dorio and Travis White talk about what their show's all about.
Oh, hell yeah. What's up, Stone Cold fans? This is Alex Dorio, one of the hosts of Talking Taker. And along with my co-host and fellow creature of the night, Travis White, we are digging up the career of the Dead Man, one pay-per-view match at a time, on a podcast journey that's a lot like what you're listening to right now on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. So if you're enjoying what Mike and JV are doing here, going through the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin, come check us out as we explore the Undertaker's three decades of destruction. We're right in the midst of the Biker Taker era right now, so you can jump right in or start over from the beginning and hear us discuss the Undertaker's side of the story from his many battles with the Rattlesnake, The Rock, Mankind, and more. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube, Spotify, and more. And you can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Talking Taker. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy. What? I said, take her easy.
Okay, so be sure to check out Talking Taker. They are a great show, great supporters of ours, and they are covering the career of The Undertaker. Also, check out Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, and they cover WCW and NWA shows from 1980s, and they're covering May 21st, 1988 on Thursdays, and this Sunday, they're covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling on February 25th, 1995. So check that out. It's episode 161. And of course, check us out, JV and I, on the PTT, Booking the Territory, $5 tier, ECW Extreme Live Cast, episode 8. We're covering Hardcore TV, episodes 15 and 16 from July 20th and 27th, 1993. Watch along versions. Check it out. Even if you don't like it for a month, let it go. If you like it, continue on. Give it a try. Check it out. Other than that, I'm Mike Prue. JV, we're out of here. So long.